The Mishnah tells us in the fifth parak of Avos that there are two categories of individuals. There are the Talmidim, the students of Avraham Avinu, and there are the students of Bilam. And what are the characteristics, the Mishnah asks, of these two groups of disciples? And the Mishnah portrays in front of us two extremes, polar extremes, with regard to three character traits. With regard to the students, the disciples of Avraham Avinu, we have Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Fela. What are these three character traits? So we translate them as a good eye, and that's what we're going to study tonight, what it means, a good eye. A low spirit, and the nefesh, which is the source of all desire, shvela. Shvela means it's reduced, it's on the back burners. If you see anyone who exhibits these three quality traits, you know that he is a descendant of Avraham Avinu. On the other extreme, the disciples of Bilam manifest three negative character traits. Ayin Ra, a bad eye, an evil eye. Ruach Gavoa, that means somebody who's full of themselves, they're arrogant. And Nefesh Rechava, and their desire for pleasure is very wide, very broad. You see anyone who manifests those behavior patterns, you know they are students of Bilam HaRosh. Now, having said that, we move on to study a paragraph from the writings of Rav Kook. And this paragraph is an insight of Rav Kook into a Gemara, an Agadita in Masechta Brachos. The subject of this Agadita is to compare, and I would say moreover to contrast, two types of guests. One guest is called an Oreach Tov, the other is an Oreach Ra. How do you distinguish between a good guest and a bad one? Oreach Tov Mahu Omer. A person comes as a guest at someone's table. What does he say? Kama Tirchos Torach Balabais Bishvili. Look at all the effort that my host or hostess put out for me. Kama Bosar Hevi Lefana, Kama Yayin Hevi, this meat, this wine, Kama Gluskos, look at these beautiful breads, you know, home-baked breads, fresh breads, Hevi Lefana. Vekoma Shetorach, and all of the efforts, Lo Torach Elabishvili, it was for me. In other words, to recognize out of a sense of gratitude how great it is that this person hosted you.
Oh, he's doing out of gratitude, not out of gaiva.
Right. It's the opposite of God. He's not saying that it's because I'm great he did it, but he did it because he wants to extend a mitzvah of Hachnasas Orachim on my behalf. But I have to realize that it's done for me, and I have to recognize that, and that's the key to gratitude. Avlo Reach Ramahu, the other extreme. My Torah Torah Balabai said. What kind of effort did he put in? Pas achas achalti. I got one little loaf of bread. He gave me a little roll. Chaticha achas achalti. You know, when they gave out the portions of schnitzel or pizza, you know, I got one little slice. Kos echad shasisi. I only drank one cup of wine. Not only that, but kol torach shetorach balabayit zeh. All the efforts that this host put in. Lo torach ela bishvil ishto bana. He really did it for himself, his wife, his children, for his family. He, you know, he had some leftovers, so he gave me a piece. And Rav Kook wants to analyze what is the root? Why does one Oreach see it this way, that everything was done for him and all the efforts were prepared for him? The other Oreach comes to the opposite conclusion, that he did it for himself, his family, and what did I get? You know, one little piece of bread, one little cup of wine, that's it. Where were the tons of food that I expected? I wanted a 7-course meal. Ma goreim lehevdil say. Well, what is the root cause of the difference between the two? After all, lifneihem, they both had the same kibud, meaning the same meal was presented for both of them. How could it be that one of them looked at the wine and he came to the conclusion there's so much wine, an abundance of wine? The second one looked at the cup of wine and he said, well, what's going on? This is so stingy, you know, this is so limited. One cup of wine and that's it. In fact, both are saying the truth. How can they both be saying the truth even though they're saying the opposite? He says, Al Shulchan mitzvu lehem harbe kadeyayin harbe glusko sokol arech lo achal miklum elarak monachas. There was plenty of food on the table, but each one of the guests ate only a limited amount. So the good guy, the good guest, he recognized all the great, you know, shefa means all the great gifts and food that he was bestowing in this meal. But the orech, right, the other one, looks at it in an ayin tzara. He looks at it with a negative view. And all he looks at is what's on his plate. So again, both of them saw the same layout, you know, the same presentation. Both of them put the exact same amount of food on their respective plates. Ain kan emes v'sheker. It's not a question of falsifying the truth. El akol toli be'eza ayin mistaklam. It's what eye are you using? What kind of an eye? What kind of histaklut, what kind of gazing or perspective do you have on reality? The guy who has the ayin tova, he looks at that reality and he finds all the good sides to it that would obligate him to feel a sense of gratitude towards the host. Therefore, he says, I look at the positive side, and I say to myself, the Baal Bais must have done this all for me. But somebody who has an ayin ra, he sees the negative. Everything in reality that he looks at is tainted in a very negative light. He will always decrease the significance of anything that's positive. He will look at it askance and see not the donut but the hole. Even if there are good things, he'll find some sort of interpretation and give it a negative light. In other words, here he has food, but no, he got a small portion. Here he has food and look at this presentation, no, it was really done for the family and not for him. At this point, I wanted to turn to the next page. Rav Kook wrote a book called Ein Raya, which is a commentary on the Agadah, especially Masechta Brachos. He has almost a whole volume on Masechta Brachos. And he writes, Mibnei sheyeshna ba'olam anoshim ba'le yeush v'safek. There are people who fit the following description. They belong to a category unto themselves. They're ba'le yeush. They're always in a state of despair. They're always wondering what's around the corner. What evil is lurking in the shadows? These Bala Yeush are the people that if the phone rings, or in the old days, remember, I don't know if you remember the telegrams, you remember telegrams? When a telegram came knocking on the door, what was the name of that company?
Western Union,
excellent. Western Union, I haven't heard that in decades. So right away they said, who died, right? Then it couldn't be that, you know, somebody's congratulating, he got his PhD or he got a Phi Beta Kappa. No, somebody must have died. Suffolk. Suffolk means everything that happens they see in a questionable light. Hamidabrim Toeh, and when they speak about something, they're always questioning it. Al Hashgach El Yona. Instead of seeing the divine hand, what we call Hashgacha Pratit, meaning a divine providence, they think, no, no, this is all evil, and this is all chance and accident. Motzim ba'olam ros rabos, they find so much reason to complain. V'alpi divrayim, if you accept their approach, their worldview, then yishafel ruach ha'adam, man's spirit will go down. V'ya'abed es yishro, and he will lose the straight path, v'tor levavo, and the purity of his heart, v'yiras Hashem telech tamas mikirbo, timas mikirbo, and the fear of God will gradually melt away from inside of him. Because with every additional experience or occurrence, he sees more and more negative, and he cuts himself off from a belief that God is watching him and God is protecting him. And on the contrary, he always sees that terrible things are going on. His spirits are low. He's not capable of seeing things with yashrus, you know, in a straight vision, with tara, with purity. And so his fear of the Lord goes down, down, and down inside of him. It's melting away. Al-Kain, leman lo yispateh ha'odim l'tanosei ma'kozvos. Okay, now these people, the Balei Yesh v'Safek, who speak all the time and try to undermine Hashgacha Elyona, the higher realms of divine providence, they're very contagious. They have a tremendous impact on those around him. And it's a very alluring, seductive kind of approach. That Hashgacha, that Weltanschauung, will have an impact on all aspects of life and everything you see in life, your perspective on life, and people around him, around this individual who's a Baal Yeish or something, are going to be drawn down, down. Yitzayer ki be'emes ha'yeish v'ashkof v'ayin ro'al ha'mitzis v'ayitoch v'ashkof v'ayin tova shneim enim bonim l'odim al pi chilukim b'seichel ha'chitzoni ha'muf shaki'im ha'davar talui b'tchunas ha'nefesh ha'tova hi imra'a. He says the only way to combat this terrible, corruptive, and corrosive influence is if a person will contemplate that in truth, this attitude of despair, this Weltanschauung, which everything is to be seen in a negative light, is going to undermine his belief, his faith, his reliance, and his whole philosophy of Ayin Tova, of looking through good eyes, looking for the positive, looking for room to recognize and experience gratitude. He has to work on himself to make sure this lesson will penetrate to his heart. And he has to realize again that the difference between the Ayin Tova and the Ayin Ra'ah is not the difference between logic on the one end, you know, abstract logic, and another perspective on logic. This is not intellectual debate, but rather everything depends upon the tchunas ha-nefesh, which means the propensity and the character of the heart, of the spirit. Is it tova? Is it ra? There's nothing objective and intellectual here. As we said before, both guests sit in front of the same plate and put the same food on that plate, respectively. You can't find a chiluk, a distinction here, and say, well, one was more logical and perceptive than the other. They both perceived the same reality. But the difference is in the nefesh. The difference is in the quality and the traits of the nefesh ha'adam, of the soul and the spirit of man. It could fit into one or two categories. It could be tova, it could be ra. Ki kamoshanu roim b'mikrim haktanim, we saw, and this is a phenomenon that repeats itself over and over again in a less dramatic way, that the orech tov, the good guest, yitzayer es tovo shel balabayis, v'yein b'zeh mishum sheker klal. You know, it's from his perspective, the orech tov is saying, this was all done for me. That's not a fabrication of the truth.
Tova.
He says that someone who looks at life from the perspective of an Ayin Tova, he will find all the reasons, the good reasons, that obligate him in gratitude and recognizing what he's gotten from someone. The Liknos Ava, and he will acquire love. The Koras Ruach, and he will find favor in the eyes of the Balabais, and reciprocally, the Balabais will, the host will find favor in the eyes of this guest who sees things in a positive light. And all this is because of his nefesh. It's because of his very essential psyche, his personality, his spirituality. Kevan shenafsho tova, he has a good nefesh. And his ayin is an ayin tova. Harei umotzi lefadav nachon ladun lekaf zchus ulekaf tzedek. Whenever he has the opportunity, he will always tip the scale towards the positive, towards meriting the person, finding good. He's danes chaver lekaf zchus. He tips any suffix, any scale, in favor of that person. She odeh ba'atzmo midas tovo shel molei hayahu balabayis umachnis orchim im hayu biyado im akablu b'sever part of yofos b'simchu b'ayin yofa. He realizes that if the tables were turned and it was he who could be the host and he would invite people to his guests as guests to his home, then he would, if he could, he would receive them with a shining face, full of simcha, of joy and gladness, and most of all, with an ayin yofa, with a good eye. And in kein gam balabayit zeh vaday torach, he says, if I would have been in his shoes, that's what I would have done, to reach out of love to my guests, and there's no doubt in my mind that now that I'm a guest, my host did the same to me. Vaday, I have no doubt. Torach, he worked and he sweat and he toiled. Hakol b'shvili, everything for me. Mipdei she'tchuna tova shel avat reyim hayekidai lachriya l'chol elu amaseh. He says that if a person is endowed with a positive view of love for his fellow man, that itself will cause him to tip the scale in any doubt in favor of hakar satov, of gratitude, meaning that everything that was done for him. Avalo reach ra. If someone looks at the world with a negative perspective, and that's how he perceives everything as bad, she'eino mitzayer b'nafsho, she'osa tov b'emes. He doesn't have the ability, based on his nefesh, which is a nefesh that sees the negative, to see the positive in things. That really what's being done on his behalf is good. Lo yuchal etzayer tzir hagun v'tov. He cannot come up with a vision that's positive. Umechapes tzadim will always be on the lookout and make a tremendous effort lahaktin es roshim atov, to diminish any sort of an impression that this is good. V'yamim tzadim lichash l'ra mechsha. And if he can come up with some sort of attack or argument or complaint and a claim that there was something, you know, evil going on here, that's exactly what he's going to do. And therefore he's going to claim that the Baal Bais wasn't interested in him at all. We see here that there are two perspectives on all of reality. One is called the Ayin Tova perspective, that a person sees that everything in this world is good, anything that's being prepared and he benefits from is good and it's prepared for him, it's earmarked for his benefit. Anything that happens in his life comes from a divine providence protecting him and showering him with good. And therefore, this person who has the Ayin Tova is Molei Shira, he's full of song to God. Because God has created a world that's proper, that's just, and that's marvelous. The opposite is true in the person who's endowed with an Ayin Ra. He'll always criticize, he'll always see the negative, and he'll always claim that some evil was perpetrated.
In his example, both guests got the same, but that's not always true.
But it's enough to demonstrate that there's an Ayin Tov and Ayin Ra, meaning, again, in every case you have to deal with Ayin Tov and Ayin Ra, and you're right, that there may be a shift in how much he gets, how much he gets, and so forth and so on. But if you focus on this one simile, this one mashal, then what you realize is that the difference between the ayin tov and the ayin ra is not a question of truth and falsehood. You know, both are relating to the same reality. It's a question of what your perspective, how do you perceive that reality, and it all depends. It's a reflection of your nefesh, of your soul.
Like your neighbor gets one and you get two, you feel happy. On the other hand, you get four and your neighbor gets five, you feel deprived.
So that's already an issue of ayin tov and ayin ra. You know, if you feel that you can look at some reality and say, I see the good in it, I see that this person is on my team, you know, he's really making an effort and extending himself for me, then that's the attitude of an ayin tova. He says, Kei nefesh tzaddik hazocha hamuchenet lasos tov. He says that according to Rav Kook, someone who's endowed with a righteous and pious soul, which is pure and is always prepared to do good, will have a different perspective on everything in life, because such a tzaddik will always look for the hashgacha, for the divine providence, be ayin tova, in a good way, because his soul sees the will of God. His soul is interested in doing good. And therefore, when he looks around at the beautiful world, he sees that God has endowed him with so many gifts. Everything is positive. He looks at the divine providence and divine protection, be ayin tova. And therefore, minayin nimtzo v'nafsho ha-kishon hazeh im lo mi'or elyon ha-tova meitiv. When he asks himself the question, how does my soul have this talent, this ability to see everything as good? It must be because the source of all good is the Almighty. And I am getting a little bit of illumination, so to speak, in a metaphysical sense, from the ultimate good, and that's God. Al-Kain, Yebatua Ki'akol Nasa L'Tov. He understands that just like everything that God created in this world is for the good, and everything that happens in this world is a divine gift that Hashem bestows upon us, then he's always going to be very confident that everything that happens is for the good. The haros hamisragshos ba'olam yesh lem achris tova. Even when he looks at things which are evil, he believes that it's part of a divine plan, and ultimately, it's for the better. It's for the better of man. The achris, the ultimate end of days, will be tova, and we'll understand retroactively that all those things that look like they were evil were really part of a divine plan that leads to good. Umemela, as a result, yismach b'chayim, he's very happy with his life. Look at all the advantages of having an ayin tova. Number one, you're able to get close to God because you see in everything that happens that God has bestowed you with an ayin tova. Number two, he begins to understand how he himself could look at an ayin tova because he benefits from the divine eternal light of the Almighty. Number three, he is absolutely sure that everything that happens in this world is tova. And therefore, 3b, if you want to call it number four, is that anything that's evil in this world will ultimately be understood as marching, as projecting towards the achris hatova, towards the ultimate good at the time of the redemption. And therefore, the greatest benefit of an ayin tova, this is the cherry on top of the ice cream, is yismach b'chayav, he's happy. Or if you want to quote Simon and Garfunkel, he's feeling groovy. I'm really dating myself here. Okay, you never heard of that song. Anyway. So he says what?
Yeah, Gary and I was saying the other day who quoted, we referred to the 50s, Simon Garfunkel.
Okay, 60s or 70s, I don't know exactly when it was, the late 60s, early 70s.
The late 60s.
Feeling groovy, right? Slow down, you move too fast. So that kind of attitude of simcha, of joy, is going to permeate his entire service to God. He's an Ovid Hashem, b'simcha, b'emes, Libo tova abrios. He has a good feeling for all those around him. And here we move to page 183, actually, because 181 and 2 is are just pictures and advertisements and so forth and so on. So we're on the top of 183 right now, if you'll see that on the top left. V'nefesh ha-ra'ah, in contrast, the evil eye, lo tuchal etzayr ki rak ra, all he's capable of seeing in life and interpreting life, is evil. Gam ken al ha'olam, with regard to his view of the entire universe, is v'ayin ra'ah. So everything that happens in his life is negative, is threatening, it's yeush, it's despairing. Mikol tzadei ha'chayim. Everything, every dimension of life is from the perspective of negativism and fear and despair. Shetucha ladunosam liros, anything that he could judge, he will judge in a negative way. Lahaktin kolatovos, anytime he sees people bestowing good on him, he'll always diminish it, make it insignificant. Bekatnus erech, it has no serious value to it. Don't think that you're either born into an ayin tov or you're born into an ayin ra. No. There's bechira. There is freedom of choice. You can decide which of these two categories you want to belong to. What do you want to make yourself into? You can transform your personality and have and acquire an ayin tov instead of an ayin ra. He's giving you a picture that's similar to Yaakov and Esav. If you remember, you know, Yaakov's holding on to Esav's heel as Esav is exiting into this world. So he says the following: if you want to connect even with the Ekev of the Nefesh HaTova, in other words, if you see within you, in only in a fledgling sense, you know, it's only a potential, a nefesh hatova, and you grab onto it by connecting with it, is gamkein arevus hachaim ushkita salavavus bolamazeh. You can achieve arevus. Arevus means the sweet taste of life and the calm from tension in the heart. Umitovas ayin, and if he has acquired this great quality of tov ayin, that he sees everything behind tova, is then legabe ashkoch elyona, he will have a good view of everything that his whole lot in life, whatever experiences he has, whatever produce he comes in contact with, flowers, whatever it might be, it's all part of hashkoch elyona, it's all part of divine providence, and he's going to look at it in a positive light. God is doing great things. And from that, tovo gam tovas ayin el habrios bi'ava v'shon. Once he's achieved the tovas ayin in terms of his relation to God, now he can achieve that same tovas ayin with relation to man, in which he embraces man with ava, with love, with shalom and peace. The omar sheva ayin hara hatova yigdal kol poel. By nature, if you have an ayin tova, then you're more energetic. You can really accomplish great things. You can put energies into whatever you do. If you're negative, it's hard to gather together the energies. Lefi atchuna henoshit, there's a natural propensity in man, hamityacheset l'shira mitoch oneg v'harchavas hadas. We can see the beauty of nature. We can behold the divine creations, and we're ready to sing a song of joy, a song of pleasure, a song of harchavas hadas, meaning when I feel calm, I feel I have what I need, everything, all my needs are taken care of. All this, all these benefits, are the benefits of an ayin tova. And this song of praise is the greatest demonstration, the greatest expression of the fact that he's besimcha, and he appreciates all the pleasures of life because they're divine, they're divinely given. Al machzeh maisa Hashem hanedarim. He's able to recite the following chapter in Tehillim when he sees all the beauty of nature and he beholds the, you know, a sunset. I don't know, have you ever seen a sunset over the Atlantic Ocean? Or a sunrise if you wake up early in the morning? It's absolutely marvelous. What?
It's beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful? So what should be your song at that moment? Ma godlu ma sech Hashem. How great are your handiworks. Or b'masai yodecha arane. You will sing songs because of God's handiwork. What God has created in this world. You look at it, the marvelous nature, and you perceive God and His greatness, and you burst out in song. V'ashira, and that song, harei gam yitzira nafshit, hanechona la'nege ta'odem v'yonig ruchni. Not only is he singing because he's having all this pleasure from all the beauty of nature and the world, but moreover, his nefesh becomes a nefesh that is geared, I would say. It's hard to translate these words. Yitzira nafshis hanachona lianeges ha'adam bioneg ruchni. So he has pleasure, and now he expands his ability to have pleasure. Do you follow? Because when he has pleasure and he sees and he beholds this beauty, he responds with how great are God's handiwork. Then, as a result, not only is he responding to good, but he's capable of enjoying his life. He's capable of li'aneg, to have pleasure, bi'oneg ruchni, in a spiritual way, from all of life's experience. Laharbos sheshono v'tuvo. And he's marbe, he keeps over and over again, now like a refrain, he sings this song and lauds God's great goodness that he bestows on man. That's mabit b'ayin yofa. He looks out at the world with a good eye. Yiret tov. And therefore, if he sees good, he's ready for singing a song. Gamba mesha. Oh, maybe we'll close this door. Gam b'mesha dimyon yuchal lios nene mimenu. Gam kein yodel e'alze l'ashem chazdo. He says that even when he sees something, a vision, or he imagines something, and he gets pleasure from those moments of imagination, when he activates his power of animation, he will once again thank Hashem and praise God for the great benevolence of and through that God bestowed upon man by creating this wonderful world. Kishayesh gamkein makom lehenos. He says there's also room to enjoy adinut, you know, some sort of very special or delicate kind of pleasure. Naalos, and it's a very high, lofty pleasure. Al yidei koach hashira, and his nefesh, his soul, is impacted and elevated to enjoy these pleasures. Al yidei koach hashira, because of the power of song. That'll bring to a, in a sense, a kind of cathartic cleansing of his nefesh adina. Zechar ki tashkib paulo. Asher shora noshin. In other words, remember that God's actions are shoru anoshim, have brought man to song, and all that is an ayin tova. However, the ayin ra'ah, it's not bad enough that he's not able to see the world straight as it is, the great gifts of God, ulis anog, and to have pleasure, derive pleasure from these elements of song in the reality. Ki im gam ma sheroi mitzad hachochma lehov ulechabe, even that which we should intellectually appreciate and love and respect, gam kein lo yira, he doesn't see it. The yira tomin, he'll only see ba'anoshim roz v'chashados. He'll see evil people who are suspect of crime. Vatzdodim hatovim yastir, and the positive parts of the world and his experience will completely concealed. Al kein yatil ema al habrios. What does that mean? Literally translated means he should impose fear on man, on created man. Ra'u anoshim v'lo yira kol chach me'lev. I'm not sure what he means here. This is a tough one. Maybe you can help me with this. Ra'u anoshim v'lo yira kol chach me'lev. Ki es hakol yivaker mitzad eino hara'ah. If he has the evil eye, everything will be criticized with a critical perspective of an evil eye. V'yeromem es tzade ashlila, and he will emphasize and overemphasize the negative aspects which reveal the shame of man that conceal the great, shining, glorious light of the majesty of God. Mikan yesh mashmaut atzuma lemidas ha'ayin tova. The bottom line is we cannot overestimate the significance and the precious nature. It's invaluable of midas ayin tova. It just simply penetrates into every aspect of our lives. Pituach ayin tova klapi azulat. If he develops this good eye in his relationship with others, bona etzel ha'adam. Mabit chiyuvi klali. It builds within man an overall positive perspective on life. Shez be'ezrato, as a result, who yireh es kol atov shemitzis. He'll always look into the reality and he'll see the good in the reality. Pituach ayin tova klapei azulat boneh etzel odo mabat chiyuvi klali. Shez be'ezrato hu yireh et hakol litova. So the Ayin Tova now at this stage develops in his relationship to his fellow man, and through this Ayin Tova, with the aid of an Ayin Tova, he sees all the Tova in the reality in existence, and he'll thank Hashem. Says Rav Kook, as a result of these two inclinations, one towards good and one towards the opposite, Navin, we should understand Shaderech Amitit, the true way, Shaoleha Ubiglala, that as a result of this Derech Amitit, which we don't know what that is yet, Notzar Ha'odam, Leos bal ayin tova neged hamakom v'neged habrios. He says that in the reality of derech hamitus, if it's genuine and it's not fabricated or falsified, then he understands that man was created with an ayin tova in order to counterbalance an ayin ra'ah. Let's read it in his words. Haderech amitit she'oleha ubiglala notzar ha'adam hu lios bal ayin tova. We will understand that the true way and the purpose for which man was created was to become an ayin tova. Ayin tova in his relationship with Hamakom, with the Almighty, and in his relationship with the Brios, the creatures. The liknos benafsho musage yosher shall akaris tovel adon kol baruchu. He will be able to acquire in his very soul and intake this bal ayin tova perspective that will now transform him. He will become a bal ayin tova. V'liknos benafsho musage yosher, and he looks at reality in the correct way, always expressing his gratitude to the master of the universe, to God the creator. As a result of Ayin Tova, all good things come. And as a result, what goes out of the Ayin Tova is the mid of Savlanut, which is on a very high level, or...
What is that? No, I haven't heard that term in the 2.5 years I've been living in this country.
Which term again?
Savlanut.
Oh. Savlanut means tolerance. You think it means patience. Yeah, patience you won't hear about in this country. Nobody's too patient. But savlanut is tolerance. And even in a political year where we've had so many battles, but nevertheless there is a certain emphasis on tolerance. So for example, there's one religious party which really should have declared war against one individual who brought down the government, but instead they're tolerating him and they're reaching out to him and they're trying to see his positive features. And all this is a result of Ayin Tova. Sheba Midas HaSavlanut HaMishubachat Ota Shehi Mishachlelet Et HaOlam. Now Rav Kook claims that all of human advancement in this world is a result of the Ayin Tova, that energy force that sees the positive. Ota Hi Mishachlelet Et HaOlam Umevia Oto LeShichluo. In other words, this Ayin Tova will bring about the ultimate development of this universe, of this world. Shichlul. Shichlulo means its sophistication, its perfection. And this kind of tolerance, which is a result of the Ayin Tova, Mosifa Yira Shamayim, it increases the fear of heaven, the Yiras Chet, and the fear of sin, by adding another element into the equation, that's Avas Hashem, the love of God. And the mirror image that completes Ava in terms of our relationship to the Almighty is Avas Abrios, a love for all people. Hayoter Shlema Umfueret V'zeh Kol Ha'adam. So this is the difference between Ayin Tova and Ayin Ra. Now the last thing I want to accomplish with you is an introduction to the next parasha that we want to get to, and that's the parasha of Pinchas. And you should find this on the back page. Does it say on the top right Parshas Pinchas Tovshin Ayin Gimel? Yes?
Yeah.
Do you see such a thing? It'll say the name of the author.
Yes.
And then it'll say underneath that Parshas Pinchas.
And the left it says Shvilei Pinchas.
Correct. Because this Parsha is his special Parsha. He was named because of this Midah, this tremendous attribute of Pinchas. Now here in Eretz Yisrael, in just 4 days from that, we're going to read Parshas Pinchas. In Chutzlitz, they're a week behind. That, and everything that we discussed about Bola, the Ayin Tova philosophy of Rav Kook, that's all relevant as a preparation for Parshas Bolak in Chutzlitz. For us, it's relevant as an analysis of an appreciation of Parshas Bolak.
Until Tuesday, we'll still think about last week's Parsha.
Correct. And now we can begin to prepare for next week's Parsha, because we don't have that much time to get to Parshas Pinchas. And he says that on a regular calendar year, Parshas Pinchas coincides with the beginning of Bein HaMetzarim, of the 3 weeks. In this case, we're going to push it off by a day, but anyway, right after Parshas Pinchas, we start the 3 weeks from the 17th of Tammuz, culminating in the 9th of Av. That period of time is called Bein HaMetzarim, based on the Pasuk in Eicha, Kol Rod Fel HaSigua Bein HaMetzarim. All our adversaries conquered us and defeated us during this period of Bein HaMetzarim. And therefore, during this period of time, every Jew has to feel a sense of tzar, of anguish, v'doeg, and he's worried about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, about the ultimate destruction of the bias. the Golos Yisrael, the exile of the Jewish people, Ulis Palel Al Hagu'ula Hashlim, and you should pray for the ultimate, complete redemption. What should we be doing starting Sunday? We should be concerned, anguished, grieved over the loss of the Beis Hamikdash, but moreover, over the Golos Yisrael, the fact that the people of Israel were sent into exile. And we know that a lot of terrible things happened in the century that passed during this period of time of Bein HaMitzarim. It's all documented. This is a period of Churban, of destruction, of Golos. Now, if we open up to a Gemara Megillah, Ezra HaSofer organized the krios of all the parashios based on the calendar, which means that there's no coincidence in the fact that you read a certain parasha at a certain calendar period of time. That's not a matter of coincidence. That's part of the Takon of Ezra. That's part of the divine will that we should read a certain parasha at a certain period of time within the Hebrew calendar. And therefore the question we want to raise here today is, why is Parashas Pinchas related to the Bein HaMitzarim period of time? What is the connection? It's not coincidental that we are going to read Pinchas when we're at the brink of beginning the period of Bein HaMitzarim. That's a difficult, challenging question, to look into Parashas Pinchas and find some remez, some allusion to the 17th of Tammuz and the period of mourning. I honestly wouldn't even know where to begin. But I would begin with this essay. What is Parshas Pinchas about? What is the name Pinchas? And ultimately, what reward was bestowed upon him? And we begin by analyzing the words of Ezra HaSofer and the answer to the question of why we're reading this parasha of Pinchas now. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'mor, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, heishivis chamosi me'al b'nei Yisrael, b'kano'os kin'osi b'chem, b'socham, v'lo kilisias b'nei Yisrael m'kin'osi, l'chein amor hinini nosein lo es v'isi shol. So the Torah describes that Pinchas quiets down the wrath of God, and he's zealous on behalf of God. And therefore, the Pasuk declares without question that God lo chilisi es b'nei Yisrael b'kinasu, that even though I'm angry, I will not destroy the people of Israel.
So that's already a connection.
That's already a very important connection between Pinchas and this period of destruction and exile. So Pinchas receives the reward of Brisi Shalom, of the covenant of peace. The Targum Yonasan says the following: yes, Brisi Shalom, Hare Ani Kores Bris Imo Es Brisi Shalom. I'm declaring my willingness, my eagerness to enter into a covenant relationship because of the Brit Shalom. The Esenu Malach Kayam V'Yichyeh Yom, I will transform Pinchas into a spiritual angelic being, Kayam V'Chai Li'Olam, who will live for all eternity. And now, Targum Yonasan adds three words: Levaser et Hagu'ula. He will be the harbinger of the ultimate redemption, the Achris Hayom, at the end of time. There are a lot of difficult concepts here. We don't know what this Brisi Shalom is all about. We don't know what it means that Pinchas becomes a Malach. And moreover, we don't understand what is the special role of Levaser ala Geula, that he will be the Mavaser, he will be the harvest, the harvester will declare that the Geula is now taking place. Looking at the Medrash, Locheda Mar Hinenino Senlo SBC Shalom, Omar Abshimon Ben Lakish, Pinchas Hu Eliezer. Interesting. Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is one of the greatest of all the Amoraim. And he's yet identifying Pinchas as Elio. Now Pinchas is not Elio. I mean, Elio lives forever. Ah, but Pinchas also might live forever. You created peace between myself and Klal Yisrael. At the time that I was going to get so angry at them, who knows what's going to happen? They're going to be wiped out. So therefore, if you created a peaceful relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Heshev Es Chamasi is therefore Afli Yosid Lov Atah Hu She'asid Litein Shalom Beini Levein Banai. You're going to be the one, the harbinger of Shalom, of peace, even in a time which I guess ostensibly we don't see it.
Harbinger is high? Harbinger?
Harbinger is the one who sort of tells you what's happening and what's going to happen.
Oh, okay.
He brings good tidings.
Okay.
And that's Pinchas. Pinchas is the individual who's going to, at the end of days, he's going to bring, you know, right before the ultimate redemption, he will be notifying us about the redemption. Now, why do I identify Pinchas as Elio? Well, look at the pasuk at the end of Tanakh in Malachi. It says, "Hine anochi sholech lachem es Elio anovi lifnei bo yom Hashem," and it says, "Veheishiv leivavos al bonim." It's clear from the pasuk in Malachi that Elio Hanavi, who is also the prophet, the main prophet of his time, I'm sending him, God declares, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem. So what's going to happen when Elio comes Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem? He is going to be the Mavaser of the Geula. He is going to notify us about the redemption. That's Elio HaNovi. So we see a combination between Reish Lakish's opening comment, Pinchas Hu Elio, and the closing comment here, that Hineni Anochi Sholech Lachem. Now I see that Elio is going to be in the Vasar Geula. Now wait a second, Reish Lakish just said that Brisi Shalom with Pinchas was Liyasid Lovo, he's going to be the one to patch it all up. And how do we prove this? Again, we're talking about Pinchas, because Hini Shalech Lachem Es Elio HaNovi. How do you quote a pasuk that God is sending Elio HaNovi to prove that Pinchas' Brisi Shalom was a shalom between Hashem and his people? Why is that connected with Hini Shalech Lachem Es Elio HaNovi? It must be that Pinchas and Elio are the same identity. Okay, my friends, we'll stop here. We're going to daven mincha in a few minutes. I'll thank you for coming. And we did a little of Balak and a little of Pinchas. Hopefully we'll be able to make that transition in the next day or two and project us forward towards Parshas Pinchas.
Well, thanks for being my teacher while I was here in Jerusalem.
Oh, you're on your way out now?
Tuesday, yeah.
Where are you going to?
So, Texas.
Nice.
Yeah, so
I have a safe trip.